This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out there. But today, we are talking about one of the boldest free agent moves the Packers have made in years, in a long, long time. We're talking about the addition of Julius Peppers to the Packers defense, the biggest free agent signing since Charles Woodson in 2006, at least. Can we go back to Reggie White? Charles Woodson is probably a bigger signing than Julius Peppers, regardless. For anyone out there that has criticized Packers general manager Ted Thompson for not making a bold move, this qualifies as a bold move, beyond bold. I did not see this coming. I don't know many people who did. Perhaps we should have when we learned that the Packers also were interested in Giants defensive lineman Justin Tuck, who also seemed like an odd fit for the Packers defense. And there is a lot to examine here about how Julius Peppers will fit into Dom Capers' 3-4 system, if in fact the Packers are running a 3-4 anymore. I think they are, but there's going to be a lot of tweaks involved in this new Packers defense in 2014. So, Julius Peppers signs a 3-year, $30 million contract. And my very first impressions, you know, that the moment I heard the Packers signed Julius Peppers to a 3-year deal, that this was like breaking news Saturday morning. This all happened when it all, everything went just crazy Saturday morning. Before I even heard terms of the contract, I was like, wow, a 3-year deal for a guy who's already 34 years old. I thought that was a lot. And then I heard 3 years, $30 million, an average of $10 million a year. And, you know, I think that about made sense for a guy of Julius Peppers' caliber. I guess I was just surprised about a 3-year contract for somebody that old. But from everything I've seen, I've heard, I've read, it's structured rather favorably to the Packers in that there was $7.5 million guaranteed. I assume that's all coming from a signing bonus, but I don't know. Maybe there's, you know, a roster bonuses. I don't know what's all, you know, involved here. Well, I mean, the $7.5 million, that would be the guaranteed part, the signing bonus. But it seems to be structured in such a way that the Packers can get out of the deal in year two, year three, if need be, and not be terribly, detrimental to their future salary caps. Now, I would be terribly disappointed if we don't get at least 2 productive years out of Julius Peppers. I'm expecting that at least out of such a big free agent signing. But at least it seems to be, and exact contract figures have not been released yet. At least they haven't, to my knowledge. So I'm liable to change my mind by the time I see the official details, how this contract is structured, things like that. But it seems to be an okay fit for the Packers. Now, do I like it? I've been asked that on Twitter 100 times. Do I like the signing? Well, that's up to Julius Peppers and the coaching staff if I like it or not. If I get 2 productive years out of Julius Peppers, I'll like it. If I get double-digit sacks out of Julius Peppers every year, I'll like it. And heck, He doesn't even have to get double-digit sacks as long as the Packers' pass rush in general is very effective. If Julius Peppers is the guy taking pressure off others to get to the quarterback, that's fine by me too. Just as long as the Packers are winning, Julius Peppers is doing well out there. He's doing his job, and we get good 2 or 3 years from him. That's great. We better get a good year from him in 2014. If we don't get at least that, that'll be I'll be very mad. But I'm not expecting that to happen by any means. And there's so many reasons this signing does make sense. And you know, before even getting into schematics here and how he fits into the system, there's two things that stick out to me that make sense. That first of all, you're signing a guy who almost never, never misses a game. Almost never. I mean, that's one reason the Packers are willing to make such a big investment and perhaps take a little bit of risk with a guy who maybe doesn't fit perfectly into your system, is because they know he's probably going to be out there 16 games a year. It discounting his rookie season, I went through his, you know, entire career, and I noticed Julius Peppers only played 12 games in his rookie season back in 2002. I don't even know. I didn't even research into why he missed 4 games back in 2002. But since then, the last 11 years of Julius Peppers' career, he missed only 2 games in 11 years. I think back in 2007. He played in 14 games, so only missed 2 games in 11 years. That's incredible. You know he's going to be out there, and that's why the Packers are willing to make this investment. Part of the reason they're willing to make this investment into a 34-year-old player. The other part of it, and this is so, I swear that the mainstream media never ever mentions compensatory draft picks, and they should, because I swear to God the Packers have this in their back of their minds in any free agent they let leave or come or anything. They have this comp pick equation in the back of their mind. It is maybe not the main motivating factor, but because Julius Peppers was released by the Chicago Bears, he is technically not an unrestricted free agent and therefore doesn't count in the draft pick equation, by which a team receives free draft choices when it loses more free agents than it signs. And Julius Peppers doesn't count in this. So the Packers have technically lost Evan Dietrich Smith, and that's the only one they've lost to another team compared to no unrestricted free agents that they've signed. So the Packers will be getting a free draft choice for Evan Dietrich Smith, and that's not changing with the Peppers signing. Now, it could change if the Packers do happen to sign any other unrestricted free agents, but I mean, that is looking, I don't know, rather unlikely, I would say, at this point. I mean, there's some irons in the fire with this LaTroy Guyon visit that supposedly took place on Sunday, but anyhow, regardless of what's happening there, that I think that has an impact as well, a small impact, and so that's great as well. But, okay, talking about Julius Peppers here. John on the live blog asked, does MD Jennings count? No, he doesn't, because he was not tendered, and he was a restricted free agent. Only unrestricted free agents count in this equation, to my knowledge. So, anyway, getting to Julius Peppers. 34 years old, had a decline in production this past season, for, you know, the first time in a long time that you really kind of saw maybe a lesser Julius Peppers. He only had 7.5 sacks this past season, which is, you know, not the norm for him. Julius Peppers is a guy that gets double-digit sacks pretty much year in, year out. Yeah, there's been, you know, years where it hasn't happened, but I mean, it's, you know, when he's been healthy, when he's been out there, it's almost a given. You saw a little decline, but, you know, I think I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and say Julius Peppers was surrounded by a pretty poor Bears defense this past season, and that's part of the reason that it played into it. But, it, you know, guarding against that, I think the Packers are going to play it smart with Julius Peppers. And here's where we start getting into how he fits into the defense. I think the Packers will very much limit his snaps compared to what he's done in the past. I think that's going to happen. And who knows, maybe I'll be proved wrong. But I think you're going to see Julius Peppers kind of become a pass rush specialist, and maybe not always seeing him out there necessarily on first downs. Not that he can't, not that he won't ever, but I think you're going to see him as a, you know, second down, third down, you know, where down and distance is long, things like that. I think that's when you're going to see him on the field more so as kind of a way to keep him fresh. You know, they don't want him to wear down. They don't want him to wear down in the fourth quarter of any particular game because he's been out there so much. I think that's how you're going to see Julius Peppers utilized. Now, the most interesting part about this all is that he's a guy whose ideal position is probably a 4-3 defensive end, where Julius Peppers is in a three-point stance. That's how he's been effective rushing the passer off the edge for most of his career. It doesn't make sense to me to see him as a 3-4 defensive end where he's lining up head up on the offensive tackle in a 5 technique position where he's butting heads against the tackle every play. I don't see him being utilized like that a lot, maybe occasionally. And I understand the argument that he probably has a body size that's maybe suited for that. You know, what's really great about Julius Peppers is his length. He's what, 6'7"? Yeah, I mean, you want those nice long defensive ends as a 3-4 defensive end. That's kind of perfect. I think he's slightly undersized for a 3-4 end at 287 pounds, but I mean, not to the extent that he couldn't play it, and not to the extent that he couldn't maybe put a little weight on. I don't know if that's in store for him or not. I just don't see him playing that 3-4 end very much. I think the Packers are going to try to figure out ways to avoid that if possible. And again, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, because maybe he just, you know, maybe he fits there. Maybe he does. Maybe I'm totally misinterpreting this totally. And that's, you know, they want him to be a three-down player for as long as possible. Maybe he can be a three-down player this year and maybe future years, maybe scale back a little bit. I suppose that's what's so fun about it is there's so many question marks right now. I can't figure out how Julius Peppers is going to be used, but maybe what that also means is opposing offenses out there aren't going to know how Julius Peppers is going to be used either. So that's the bright side of this whole thing. But, you know, not just Julius Peppers, but you've now got, with the re-signing of Mike Neal, who re-signed with the Packers last week, you've got him, you've got Peppers, you've got Neal, you've got Nick Perry. All three of those guys, you can make the argument that their ideal position is 4-3 defensive end with their hand down in the dirt as in a three-point stance. You can make that argument, and nobody can argue against it, really. That is probably the ideal fit for all three players, which makes me think, wow, is there some changes in store for this Packers defense, and what are they? Are they going to a 4-3? You can kind of see that. Maybe we started to see that when they, you know, when Kevin Green retired and the Packers didn't name another outside linebackers coach, and we saw Winston Moss was just taking charge of all outside linebackers. Is that the case? Are the Packers going to a 4-3? That this is just one more piece of evidence, maybe, in that. Maybe it's not like that. Maybe they run some, you know, that 4-3-3-4 hybrid scheme where you're kind of seeing man principles on one side and zone principles on another. Is that what we're seeing as well? Because I'm not totally, you know, convinced the Packers are getting away from a 3-4. There's been so much about B.J. Raji and playing the nose tackle that they think that's his ideal fit, maybe, for him. That makes me think the Packers aren't getting away from this totally. But I guess what you see in the Packers' nickel package that they play so much, I mean, literally, I mean, the nickel might as well be the base package, the 4-2-5 alignment, four defensive linemen, or you know, I don't know how you want to say this, four people on the defensive front, two linebackers at the second level, and five defensive backs. I mean, that is basically the formation the Packers run more than anything else. And really, I mean, you know, that four-man defensive front is basically two defensive linemen, two outside linebackers on the line of scrimmage. It is not that tough of a transition to think that Julius Peppers can essentially be an outside linebacker in that formation. Not that he is going to be used in a two-point stance, not that Julius Peppers is going to be dropping into coverage, but you could just see him rushing off the edge in that formation. And literally, I mean, there's the alignment. If the guys are going to rush the passer, is there that much difference from playing in a three-point stance and a two-point stance? I guess because, you know, if they line up in a three-point stance, you're almost saying they're coming after the quarterback. It isn't too often. Yeah, you can drop into coverage from a three-point stance, but, you know, you just don't see that very often. But, I mean, if you know it, you're going to send Julius Peppers, and why wouldn't you? You know, I mean, that isn't going to be a surprise to defenses that he's coming after the quarterback. I mean, so what? He's in a four-man front. He's in a three-point stance. That's not a whole lot different than what the Packers are doing already. You know, in the past, they just had their outside linebackers in a two-point stance. Clay Matthews, Mike Neal, Nick Perry. Well, if not just Peppers, but all those guys start rushing from a three-point, with the exception of Clay Matthews, probably, where he's very comfortable in the two-point, and you kind of leave that option open where he can kind of drop back, things like that. I mean, that's how I see Peppers being used, rushing off the edge in the Packers' nickel formation and their dime formation that also takes another, you know, linebacker off the field. That's what I see out of him. That's how I see the Packers using him in that way, rushing off the edge. That should come as no surprise. But, you know, it's all the unanswered questions that make it so intriguing. Are they going to run this hybrid scheme? Is it basically going to be a 4-3? You know, I don't know the answers to these. You know, what one thing here as well, that it, here's, you know, it's so fun to see, think about the Packers pass rush being improved and all that. And here, I mentioned this on Twitter the other day, to rain on everybody's parade. It does seem a little bit that the Packers defense is becoming smaller, which there's a concern there from the standpoint that, you know, come goal line packages, come short yardage fourth and one packages, the Packers aren't going to have the bulk up front when you basically need four defensive linemen on the field. So, I mean, when the Packers went goal line in the past, here's the bodies last year they'd have in goal line. They'd have B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, Johnny Jolly, and C.J. Wilson. Four defensive linemen in the three-point stance. We're talking about goal line package here. Well, you know, Johnny Jolly's a free agent. Ryan Pickett's a free agent. Packers, the guys they've gotten to replace him, like Peppers, he's only 287 pounds. It's not like 340 Ryan Pickett's providing. A little bit small here. And again, that's not to say, you know, Josh Boyd can't play on goal line situations. But, you know, getting a little smaller, that it's a little bit of a concern. Maybe not a huge one, and you know, we haven't closed the door on Pickett and Jolly coming back yet, so who knows what's going to happen there. Just one thing to think about, and I guess you can't make the perfect team, you know, so if you think pass rush is really important and getting these mobile guys on the field, that's what you go for. I mean, because there's going to be a heck of a lot more situations where you rush the passer then there are going to be goal line situations that only come about, you know, a handful. You know, how many times did the Packers run their hippo package last year? Three times a game? You know, it's pretty rare. Whereas the amount of times you're rushing the quarterback, how often does that happen? Every other snap, practically. So, I mean, the Packers are really trying to gear up with athletic people out there. You know, and I threw this out there. What about the return of the psycho package that you haven't really seen, I think, for 2 years now in Green Bay? But I mean, think about the possibilities of Mike Daniels being the lone guy in a three-point stance and then kind of bouncing around all around him. You got Dayton Jones, Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Mike Neal, Julius Peppers, Jarrell Worthy. Think about that. All these guys bouncing around, not knowing what gap they're going to rush. Opposing defenses are going to be confused. They're going to be scared. That to me is just, you know, the thing that Julius Peppers brings, the versatility, the unknown factor that, you know, guys could be rushing all over the field. It really, really is interesting. And that's the most exciting part about all of this. That's really, really, the best part of it all, I think. Looking at from the aspect also where, you know, if you thought the Packers needed to draft a pass rusher in the NFL draft, at least we're talking day one, day two, maybe that need has now lessened, and maybe they don't go after, let's say, an outside linebacker, at least in round one, maybe round two and round three as well. And instead, the Packers can now focus on adding help where they need it. And if you ask me, where does the Packers defense still need help? It's at safety and inside linebacker. And at least maybe the Packers can address those needs in the first few rounds instead of an outside linebacker or a pass rushing defensive end. Anything like that. There's a little more flexibility in the NFL draft. And you see it from the standpoint as well. You're kind of knowing the Packers, they haven't addressed the safety position. That's the most glaring hole on the team right now, right? I don't think there's anybody who would disagree with that. Currently, the biggest hole on the Packers team is that starting safety position next to Morgan Burnett. And who's going to fill it? Well, I mean, Micah Hyde might fill it. We don't really know that for sure yet. Sean Richardson might fill it, maybe. But, it, you know, you could see the Packers addressing perhaps safety in round one. Maybe grab a Kelvin Pryor, Deion Buchanan, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. That could be the Packers starter. And wow, you may be worried about a rookie safety. You're worried about any time you put a rookie on the field and they have to play major snaps. I mean, Eddie Lacy's the exception and not the rule. I mean, you get lucky once in a while and have a rookie that's ready to play year one and contribute in a major fashion. How many Eddie Lacy's were there in the NFL last year? Not many. I mean, he was the rookie of the year. He was the top one. Anything else, you kind of worry about, oh, man, maybe a rookie safety isn't, you know, he's not ready to play. Well, when you have a pretty darn good pass rush in front of you, when you got Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Dayton Jones, Mike Daniels getting after the passer, rushing those throws out, wow, your concerns about a rookie safety are kind of alleviated rather quickly, aren't they? I mean, that's also a big part of this as well. Now you're not banking or you're not relying so much on a rookie safety. You know, if those guys are sacking the quarterback or if they're rushing quick passes, that's less time. These players are in coverage. This young safety is in coverage. I'm worried a whole lot less now than I was just a week ago, just days ago. So, I mean, there's so many reasons why this makes sense. And that's just one of them. That's just one of them. So, you know, with a lot of questions left, there's apparently roughly still $17 million under the salary cap. Are the Packers going to sign any more of their own players? I mean, you know, let's look at who's still out there. Ryan Pickett, James Jones, Jermichael Finley, John Kuhn, James Starks, Matt Flynn. All these guys still out there in the free agent market. How many of them will the Packers still sign? Kind of some news here just lately. Things, you know, we haven't talked about on Railbird Central since last Friday. James Starks today, Monday, apparently taking a visit to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is he going to sign there? Don't really know. I kind of had the feeling that the Packers are willing to let James Starks go to another team. James Starks is going to want to make as much money as possible and find the right fit. And, you know, I don't think James Starks is going to find a starting job out there anywhere where, you know, some team's going to say, come in and be our starter. Heck, he goes to Pittsburgh, he's backing up Le'Veon Bell out there. And I don't know, maybe that influences Starks' decision. He's like, well, if I'm going to be a backup, why don't I just come back to Green Bay? Heck, I know the system, I know the guys, I know everything about the offense. But, you know, on the other hand, it's a crowded backfield in Green Bay. Jonathan Franklin, DeJuan Harris, Michael Hill, maybe Starks wants to avoid that. I don't really know how it's all going to play out, but that's, you know, one thing happening today on a Monday. Wide receiver James Jones tells ESPN he'd love to play for the Carolina Panthers. That's pretty much all we're going on is one interview with one media member. I haven't seen any reports of a visit made to Carolina. It makes sense. I know Carolina's in the need for wide receivers after releasing Steve Smith. I know they've had some losses in free agency. I think I read somewhere the Carolina Panthers currently don't have a wide receiver on their roster who's caught an NFL pass in their life. So they're definitely in need of wide receivers, and it's something that could make sense. So maybe we're seeing James Jones leave. I don't think the Packers have closed the door on it yet. But again, I mean, they're not going to be willing to pay these guys a ton of money. James Starks, James Jones, you know, the Packers would probably love to have him back, but, you know, on a contract they can afford, certainly, I think. What else is happening? We saw LaTroy Guyon of the Minnesota Vikings come into Green Bay for a visit yesterday. At least that was the report. Haven't heard anything since the Julius Peppers signing, and you wonder with, you know, maybe maybe with the Pepper signing, Pepper signing with the Packers, a lot of alliteration there. Raji signing as well last Friday. Maybe the Packers don't need another defensive lineman. Maybe there's not money there that they anticipated either. So much in the air still to play out in free agency. I guess the fun part about following NFL football and Packers football, that there's still a lot to come yet. Free agency just got started last week, last Tuesday. We're almost nearing on a week here in, and there's still so much more to come to find out if the Packers re-sign these guys or not. Do they leave? If they leave, where do they go? All those kind of things still going to play out here over the course of the next several days, several weeks, even several months, maybe with some people, with a guy like Johnny Jolly, which, by the way, Johnny Jolly being honored today for being the team's Ed Block Courage Award winner. He's attending a ceremony in his honor and all 32 recipients honor in Baltimore today. Getting back to the point, I don't think the Packers make a decision on whether to re-sign Jolly for maybe months yet, maybe till after the NFL draft. So, things can really, play out a long time here with some Packers, but that's what makes this show fun, right? Railbird Central, we'll be breaking them down every day as they sign it, whether they come, go. We'll be here talking about it, which, kind of brings us to the end of today's episode, actually, of Railbird Central. But thank you all so much for joining me here on a Monday morning at Cheesehead TV. We'll be back again on Wednesday, as we are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Check us out on the live stream network. If you got a Roku player, we're actually on TV. Check out the podcast, however you use our content here at Cheesehead TV. But we'll see you later, everyone, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Go, Pack, go.
Every night I pace the hall, just waiting for your call, anticipating your next move. It's got me bouncing off the wall.